Actually, wow, you're a lot of people. I didn't look back later. How are you guys doing? Good? I'm blessed to be here today. Thank you so much, Shelley, for the invitation. And it's been a while since I've been here, huh? So I'm just glad the Lord opened up these doors for me to come. And so special because Gia was singing, and bless my heart. I saw her last night. We were at the at Golden Springs. And I said, hey, you're singing tomorrow, aren't you? And she's like, looking at me like, how do I know this? And I said, she goes, are you teaching? I'm teaching. So it was kind of special for us to be here together. So anyway, as Shelley was saying, I'm the wife of Hector Martinez. We'll be married 30 years next month. Yes, I know. So excited. And we have our three grown children. They're all three. I'm going to turn this up just a little bit. Is that okay? I don't know who's doing this. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Three grown children, all married, and one grandson. So we're blessed. And I just want to share really quick, happy Mother's Day for all the moms and the spiritual moms and the aunties. My boy, when he was little, he would always call my sister, he'd call her Tia Mami. She was the auntie mommy. So I thought, so all the tia mommies out there, God bless you guys too. So to get started, perfect peace. Okay, we listen to that. We think of that title, perfect peace. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Debbie Bryson in her devotional Wisdom for Women writes the following. I heard a story of a young mommy with three small children whose husband was out of town. The phone rang. What a relief to hear a cheerful voice asking how she was. Well, she said, the baby is sick, the dishwasher just broke, laundry is a mile high, and there are Cheerios all over the floor. Don't you worry, the caller said. I'm coming right over. I'll clean the kitchen, do the laundry, take the kids to the park while you take a nap. And she was so happy. And she said, and by the way, how is Tom? Tom, the mother asked. My husband's name is Jack. Silence. Then the caller said, oh, I must have the wrong number. Silence again. Then the small little voice of the young mother asked, but are you still coming? Maybe we're there today. Maybe we're there today seeking that perfect peace. And when you think of peace, what comes to your mind? Maybe a white sandy beach, and you laying in a chair under a palm tree, it just soaking up the sun, wonderfully beautiful, relaxed, sipping on an iced tea, such joy, such peace, until you get a third-degree sunburn. Coconut falls from the tree, lands on your head, hits you out of your chair, and breaks the glass of tea all over you or whatever might happen. Where's your peace then, you say? Where is it? It went right out the window, didn't it? Well, that's not the type of peace we're talking about. Because the peace, that's only a temporal peace. It's only a peace that's fleeting. But what we want and we need in our lives is a perfect peace, a permanent peace. And that peace only comes from having a true, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Father, for this time that you have given us, Lord. I thank you for each one of my dear sisters, each one of these dear ladies that you have chosen to be here this day, Father. We pray and we ask you, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would teach us, that you would help us to understand more of you, Father, to trust you, Lord, because you are a good, good Father. Lord, help us to draw close to you, Lord, and help us to learn everything you have to teach us this day. Open our hearts, Lord, and open our minds. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You never know how much we can handle, can't do we? The peace that we're going to look at today, and to look at that perfect peace, it means a complete, safe, sound, quiet contentment. And this peace is only found in Jesus. The world is always looking for peace, isn't it? Any way that they can find it. There are peace treaties, there are peace summits, rallies for peace, and all is meant for good. But without God, it's absolutely impossible. We can curl up on our comfy couches and say we're going to watch the evening news, and there goes our peace with the evening news, doesn't it? Thought we were going to be all happy, and there's the news right there in front of us. How many of you have the updates on your cell phone? I was just this week, I get this bling, bling, bling every time there's an update. And usually I'll roll over and, you know, you look at it and you pray there's an earthquake and there's this or that. And I promised this one morning it was a fire, a stabbing, a death, a this. It was just terrible, terrible, terrible. And I was like, boy, that was one way to get woken up and knowing we have to go straight to prayer. Many times we think we're going to have this peace all around us, but it's just not there because we live in a world of bad news, don't we? We live in a bad, in a world of bad, bad news. J.C. Ryle says, there will be no universal peace till the Prince of Peace appears. So our theme scripture is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. And it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. So what is this peace? That perfect peace, which I loved in Hebrew, and last night it was fun because she reconfirmed it, the lady that was sharing, Gail Mace, which was beautiful. Perfect peace is, the word in Hebrew is shalom, but perfect peace is shalom, shalom. It's the perfect peace, and only that perfect peace is in God. When you say those things twice, it shows that intensity. Some can have peace, but it's fleeting, and they never can keep it. Others can be kept in peace, but it's not a perfect peace. But there is a perfect peace that the Lord will keep us in. And what is it say? What is it saying here? When our minds are stayed, settled upon, established upon the Lord himself, then we can be kept in that perfect peace. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So to be kept in this perfect peace, it's a matter of our mind. And what a battle we have in our minds, don't we? How many of us can be sitting here and you're already shopping, you're already thinking what you're going to do as soon as you walk out these doors, and you know you're doing it because we all do it. That's our minds. It just is. They don't stop. You know, men are so different than us. Men are different. Men are, they are boxes. And I like to look at, you take off, if we took off the head of a woman, you'd see inside her, all of her cables are like this, mezclados, you know, all her cables, they're all like this. And everything touches everything. We're talking about this, but we're talking about that. We're going over there, but we're really going over there. And we can keep a conversation going like this, can't we? Because we know what we're talking about. A man is boxes. He is boxes. He's got a box. It's box for sports. It's box for family. It's box for food. It's box for church. It's box for work. It's box for everything. And they even have this other little box over here on the side. And there's nothing in that box. So when you ask your husband, what are you thinking about? And he says, nothing. He's telling you the truth. He's in his nothing box. So different, isn't he? They're so different, the men from us. But we, as women, our minds are going. We make movies out of movies, don't we? We reverse the movie, and then we go the forward. We play it back. We look at it at all sides. We're terrible. How do we make our minds rest? How do we make our minds rest? Don't you just want that switch? Turn it off. I don't want anymore. I've done that before. I've said it out loud. Stop already. I got to stop. I have to stop this. We need to be kept. It's a matter of our mind. So we are to love the Lord our God with all of our mind, as it says in Matthew 22:37. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we see this in Romans 12:2. And we are to set our minds on the things above. The Christian life is not an unthinking life of just doing or experiencing, but it is also about thinking. But where we set our minds is essential in our walk before the Lord. So let's ask ourselves, what sustains my mind? What does my mind lean upon? To have this perfect peace, my mind cannot occasionally come to the Lord on Sundays or on Wednesdays, or at a tea, or whatever it would be. It has to continually be stayed upon him without wavering, without doubting, just steadfast and continuously upon him and who he is. He's our good, good Father, and he loves us. He loves us so. If our mind is stayed on ourselves or on our problems or on the problem in our lives or on anything else, We cannot have this perfect peace. Satan loves to get to our minds, and anything he can do, wants to do anything to make us think of anything except the Lord. But ladies, we need to protect our minds. We need to train our minds in perfect peace is found only in him as we stay upon his word and stay in that perfect relationship with him. Philippians 4:8, a beautiful scripture. Many of you know it. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's like a checklist. When you're worried, when you're going through those things, run it through this check. Is it worth it? Is this praiseworthy? Is this something that I'm only imagining? Because you know what we worry about? What do they say? It's like 87% of everything we worry about never even happens. So we're wasting all our time worrying about something that's not even going to happen. And we lose our peace. We lose our faith. We waver, don't we? We need to stand upon the truth. And that's the truth that's in the Word of God. C.H. Spurgeon said, when filled with holy truth, the mind rests. When filled with holy truth, the mind rests. 2 Corinthians 10:5, bring every thought into captivity of Christ. One of the greatest problems that we face in this world is that of fear, because the fear begins here in our mind. We fear losing our health, losing our wealth, and losing our loved ones. And the enemy loves to try to get us to focus on those fears, because when he can accomplish this in us, there is an unstable peace in our lives. But true peace, perfect peace, comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Alexander McLaren said that. We need his presence in our lives to govern every one of my thoughts, every thought that would be brought into the captivity of Christ. Because us left to our own thoughts, the enemy will have a field day with us, doesn't he? Causing us to worry, causing us to fear, to have fear, and then nothing can happen in our lives because we are paralyzed. Fear paralyzes us. It paralyzes the faith in our lives. We need his control, his power, and his presence. You know, as moms, because we are getting close to that celebration tomorrow, as moms, every single day of our lives, we need his peace, don't we? Peace when our kids are little, because we think, we wonder what's going to happen with them, and we wonder what's going to become of them. And when they are in their crazy rebellious stage, we think, Lord, I will not survive this. One of the two of them are not going to come out alive, and we don't know which one it's going to be. And then when they're adults and they have wandered off that well-trodden path, we need peace, knowing that one day they will return. And that peace comes from the promise of his word. Ladies, when you know his word and that word is deep down in your heart, that's what the Lord brings back to your memory, saying, Lord, I've got this one. You have to trust me. You have to know that I am for you and I'm not against you. When my son Chachi went off his crazy path, what a heartache it was for us. So hard, and just too long of a story to tell you, but he was really crazy out there. He got very religious and very, yeah, anyway, he just really got crazy. So he's trying to convert us, if you can believe that, to whatever it was that he was into. And it was a very trying time, a very hard time, but we continued to pray because God's word was there. What you know you've planted, God's planted his word in the heart, it does not come back void. And it was so cool because when he did come back to the Lord and strong, and now he's serving in full-time ministry, which is totally awesome. But the first time he went to share his testimony, it was so funny because all he kept saying is, you know, my mom said, you know, my mom would always say, and then my mom would say, and I'm like shrinking in my seat, like, what, how embarrassing. Yeah, okay, I talk a lot, I'm sorry. Anyway, my dad would say, and this, it was so cool. But what the Lord told me was, they're listening. They've heard you. Even though they act like they don't, they really heard you. Now you trust that God's word is faithful and God's word will not, what? Come back void. God's going to get them. God's going to get them in the middle of the night, wherever they might be, something's going to happen. And that's what we have to pray, ladies. We have to pray, Lord, you get them. They belong to you. And we turn them over to you. We trust them into the hands of our good, good Father. Our peace is not dependent on our circumstances. Listen to that well, ladies. Our peace is not dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent on the faithfulness of God and knowing that we have a right relationship with him because he is a good, good father. I love that Gia sang this because this morning that came on, I had on Pandora. And I was like, yes! I was in my bathroom. You know, we always sing better in our bathroom. And I was like, you are a good, good father, Lord. You are. And that's what we have to remind ourselves and remember every single day, even when we're facing the trials of our life. And we will one day face those trials of our life. Someone said, peace comes when there is no cloud between us and God. Peace is the consequence of forgiveness, God's removal of that which obscures his face and so breaks union with him. Our peace has nothing to do with the conditions of our life and everything to do with knowing that God is all sufficient. We need to understand that because of our lives can be in chaos, but we still can have perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace. It doesn't say that the situation is perfect, but he says that you will be kept in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Psalms 9:10 says, for those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Our peace is that inward repose and serenity of soul that indicates a heart at rest, regardless of the circumstances, as we place complete confidence in God. It's a minute by minute, day by day, surrender to God. A true spiritual peace comes with knowing that our Heavenly Father is continually with us. But what about the peace in the midst of storms? Thomas Watson said, If God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace in trouble. In the storms of our lives, our peace will truly be tested. And we see this in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 8, if you'd like to join me there, I'll go ahead and start reading. In Luke chapter 8, and it starts in verse 22, it says, and now it happened on a certain day that he, Jesus, got into the boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And the windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they answered and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Our peace, the external situation, can change at any moment, can it, ladies? It can change with a phone call, a text, a letter. But when it is not anchored in Christ, we will be lost. But when it is anchored in him, he is right there with us, just as he was with the disciples. What I love about this story, Jesus didn't jump ship. He stayed right there with them. He rode the storm out with them, and he caused it to be calm. Even when they were faithless, he remained faithful. Faithful is our God. And that's what will hold us as well in the crazy life that we live. His word promises us in Hebrews 13:5 that I will never leave you or forsake you. Perfect peace is that peace of being tucked away in that boat in the midst of the storm, just as if you were tucked away in the palm of his loving hand. He is right there. We need only to reach out in faith, just as the woman with that issue of blood thought, if I only could touch his garment, I know that I would be made whole. And she was healed that very moment. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Ladies, it's an unfortunate promise right here, but it is the truth. In the world, you will have tribulations. And why do I say unfortunate? Because those aren't the promises that we want to claim for ourselves. Oh, yes, good. Glad I'm going to have those tribulations, are they? Those aren't the ones we want. We want the happy ones. We want the encouraging ones. But truth be told, the more we grow in love with the Lord, the more we grow deeper with Him, what comfort scriptures like this bring our lives, thinking, I'm on the right path. I must be doing something right because things are really going bad. I must be doing something right. As a new believer, I remembered people talking about trials and difficulties. And I thought, wow, I wonder what a trial is. Guy, will I ever have one? Hello. How many years? You're like, oh my goodness. But how the Lord causes us to grow through the trials. And when we're saved from one, the next one doesn't seem as bad, does it? Because if He got me through this one, He's going to get me through the next one. If He was faithful then, He will remain to be faithful today. How important that is. We were never promised roses without thorns or a rainbow without the rain. But we were promised beauty for ashes, the burning away of myself, being transformed into the woman that He so desires me to be. Ladies, He believes in us. And He has counted us worthy to bear His name wherever we go. And it is truly a privilege to be His. He is my, we are His, my, our beloved. I'm my beloved and He is mine. I don't know how to say that in the plural way. But we are also partakers of His sufferings. James reminds us that the trials and the testings are for our good. Because when we pass through the fire of affliction, we are being purified, aren't we, by the refiner's fire, that God has such incredible plans for our lives. But all of this self, my ways, my thoughts, everything that is mine must be given completely over to Him in absolute surrender. The Lord desires that He would rule and reign in every aspect of our lives. And the only way my life can be an offering to the Lord is in that beautiful exchange. This past weekend, I heard some incredible studies about this certain title. And I just have a few of those that I want to share with you today. The laying down of my life and the living only for His glory. What exchanges can we make with God? And here are just a few, and I'm sure you can make your own list as well. My sorrow for His joy. My turmoil for His calmness, my pain for His pleasure, my unrest for His tranquility, my burdens for His delight, my cares for His reassurance, my limits for His freedom, my longings for His contentment, my doubts for His certainty, my emotions for His steadfastness, my failures for His victories. My worries for His peace. My doubts for His assurance. My fears for His courage. My loneliness for His presence. My plans for His purposes. My goals for His perfect will. Plans, purpose, preparation, promise. He is working all things together for our good, as it says in Romans 8:28. But as we look at that scripture, we know that not all things are good, ladies. It doesn't say that all things are good, but it says that all things will work together for good for those who love God and that are called according to His purposes. He has a plan. He has a plan in the midst of every situation that we may face. In that list, we only see God's goodness, don't we? We can't see what is right in front of us, but God can. God already knows tomorrow because He's already there. He's already there. So I have no reason to fear tomorrow because He's already promised that He's right there with me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts and the plans that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself. Because it is not there, there is no such thing. C.S. Lewis said that, His peace. In John 14:27, it says, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Because the world has nothing to offer us, ladies, because it has nothing to give. It's all a farce. The whole world has all it has is temporary, and it's fleeting, and it fades away, just like the flower or even like beauty. It all fades away. It's only temporary. The cares of this world, the busyness, the rush, the you can steal our temporary peace in just that moment. Can you imagine yourself on the freeway? Come on. You know what it's like on the freeway. I just got back from Maryland, and all I have to say is Maryland is horrible, and I think California drivers are wonderful compared to them. Just saying. But I saw and felt absolutely no peace driving around there. Everyone's in such a hurry. We kind of cruise here. You know, people like lay back and they drive like this. These people are all like this, all hunched over. You know, nobody's nice. Nobody's nice. It's just rush, rush, rush. It's horrible. But how about us? When we have so much to do, when we're so rush, 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 and we see nobody's helping us out, we can have that Martha feeling, can't we? We say, come on, girlfriend, what are you doing? Get over here. Help me. And that's what happened with Martha. She was busy, 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 wanting to attend the Lord. And there was her sister sitting. And she even went and said, hey, tell her to help me. Come on, let's get this, you know, show on the road, in my own words, saying this way, paraphrased. But Jesus said, no, she chose the better part. She's sitting. She's waiting. She's seeking him first. And that's us too, ladies. We can't be all in such this rush, rush. We have to take the time and to sit. We need to seek that good part that only comes from spending time alone with the Lord. He will keep him, as we see, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. We need the mind of Christ because we are different, because we trust in him. You know, it was funny because our airplane sat on the tarmac, of course, for an hour before leaving out of Chicago back here to California. It was like another world there, really. Anyway, it was an hour late coming. And, you know, when poor people that have their connecting flights, well, the pilot came on and I've never heard this before. The pilot said, you know, we have, if the Los Angeles is your final destination, you know, let's let the people that have connecting flights go ahead and exit first, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, right, how's that going to go? And then it was cool because the flight attendant came on, you know how everybody is. Everybody's always in a rush, and I'm always the first one and more important. Then the flight attendant came on, and he said something that was really cool. He said, you never know one day when you might be in the same situation and you will need this same favor. It was like this cool piece came over the inside of our airplane, and it was so cool because you only saw like three people dashing, and the other ones were just sitting there. You know, they're just sitting there talking with the people next to them, and everybody was so cool. It was like peace being played out in front of me, and I was like, wow. And it was so cool that they even had to say, okay, you can exit the plane now, you know, like go, you know, time to go. It blessed my heart. It really, truly did. It blessed my heart seeing that played out right in front of us. No, wouldn't it be wonderful if all the world was like that at all times? But we know it's not, don't we? We know it's not. But it did remind me of God's peace. His peace is past finding out. It's so hard to explain the peace of God. And his peace is the only thing that can hold us in the worst of times. We so often think that as believers, we are exempt from tragedy. But it's not true. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. Matthew 5:45, it says, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. But our trust and our hope, ladies, are in his loving hands and in that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Many of you know this story, but Horatio Spafford, a very wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. And this is back in the 1800s. He was also a devout Christian and a faithful student of the scriptures. His circle of friends included Dwight L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. At the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife Anna suffered the tragic loss of their young son. Shortly thereafter, in October of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Spafford had. In 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. He also went to join Moody and Sankey on an evangelistic campaign in England. Spafford sent his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, he received notice that his family's ship had encountered a collision. All four of his daughters were drowned, and only his wife had survived. With a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to his grieving Anna in England. And it was on this ship that he penned those now famous words, "When sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." For more than a century, the tragic story of one man has given hope to countless thousands who have lifted up their voices to sing, "It is well with my soul." How can someone pass through such a tragedy as this and be able to say these words? Only because they know their God and they have a faith that is not dependent on outward circumstances, but a faith placed only in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us on the cross at Calvary. Jesus paid the price for our salvation, and he is in absolute control of everything when we belong to him. All the victory, all the things that try to rob our souls, of our peace, God has given us victory over. And the only way we can face the tragedies of this life is in knowing our God. There's no other way, ladies. There's no other way that we will survive unless we cling to Jesus Christ, cling to his love, because he loves us so, so much. Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So many difficulties and heartaches that surround our lives. But ladies, we have a blessed assurance. This isn't it. This isn't it. Just to let you know, this is not it. Okay? Remember that. Remember that. This is not it. This is just a preparation. This is just a way station. But all eternity is waiting for us. God is preparing a place for those who love him. And it's going to be a good place, an awesome place, that there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more tears. There are no more sickness, no more death. Everything will be perfect with him. We have a glorious hope, and God is still on the throne. And the enemy's desire is to cause us to lose hope. He caused us to lose hope and to turn our backs on God, just as Job's wife wanted him to curse God and die. But Job responded to her saying, "Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" God knows every single pain. He knows every single pain. And many of you, maybe you say, "I haven't passed through that pain." We will. We will. It's part of this life, isn't it? But where will you stand? Who will you hold on to? We can't hold on to somebody that's flesh. We can't put our hope on anything that could leave us. The hope is only in Jesus Christ. But God knows every single pain we have experienced and more, because he too gave his son for us that we would have eternal life. A young man whose father is a pastor, and this father has been in a coma for the last 7 years, shared with me this week, "The storms of life take us deeper and make us stronger." The storms of life take us deeper and make us stronger. God desires that intimate relationship with us, ladies, and he made us for such a reason. He made us that we would cling to him, that we would trust him, that we would not look to anyone else to fill our hearts. He desires that we would love him and know him and cling only to him. His peace is ours if we would just ask him. If we would just ask him. He is a good father and he gives good gifts. He is light. Call upon him and trust in him. Psalms 27:13, it says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." We are living eternity now. This is where we start. We don't wait for heaven. We experience it now. We let God's faithfulness, his goodness, his presence rule in my life. Remember the question of the young mommy of the caller? "But are you still coming?" And maybe we're asking the same. God, are you still coming? Why hasn't he returned? So many have waited such a long time, but he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, because he loves us so much. You know, at the chapel, I oversee all the funerals that go on there. and I meet with the families and I organize the service. And some would say, what a hard ministry, Hallie. And it can be at times, especially for those who have no hope. Those that have no hope, it breaks your heart. It's so hard. But those that have hope, you grieve together and you say, girl, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through because God is with us. And they've gone on, just as David said about his son when he passed. He won't return to me, but I will go to him. Just this week, a dear pastor in our congregation lost his baby. And those are the same words that are shared. He won't come to us, but we will go to him. And that's our hope. That's a living hope, ladies. What hope does this world have? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But our hope is a living hope. It's a hope of heaven. How can it be well with our souls? Only in Jesus Christ. Living this life of hope, a perfect peace that only comes from knowing him. Ephesians 2:14, it says, he himself is our peace. Ephesians 2:17, he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, to those who were near. Francis Fenelon, he said, peace does not dwell in outward things, but within the soul. And that peace is only found in his presence, and nowhere else can your soul find rest. You can look anywhere you want. You can talk to anyone you want. You will never have perfect peace unless the Prince of Peace is living within your hearts. He paid that price to live within your hearts. And all we have to do is invite him in. We need him every hour, every minute. His presence in our lives. We need to practice his presence, ladies. Practice his presence. No, Jesus, you're with me right now. Talk to him. Don't be afraid. Talk to him. You know, do it in moderation, you know. Whatever, however you do it. If you talk to yourself and you're in the store, I don't know what they're going to think of you, but whatever. I talk to him all the time. I do. I love it. I just talk to him and I'm walking around the house. I'm talking. Well, now I have other people around my house, so I have to be careful not to talk too loud. But I do. I love to talk to the Lord like that. I'm driving in my car. I'm talking and say, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? Tell me what to do. Show me what to do. It's an onward practicing his presence, knowing he's here. He's here. Wherever I go, whatever I do, he is here. And his promise is that to us. He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Remember, ladies, you cannot have the peace of God until you first have peace with God. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you right now, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are our Prince of Peace. And you are our perfect peace, Father. When the tragedies and the storms of this life come flooding in around us, Lord, you are our hope. We look to you, Father. We don't know and understand so many things that you allow, Lord. But we trust you, Father God. For where else can we go? For only you have the words of eternal life. I thank you so much, Lord, for these dear ladies that have come today, Father. And just as every eye is closed and every head is bowed, we take this moment to say, do you have his peace in your life? Do you have that perfect peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding? And if not, Jesus said, let me in, and I will do a work in you that you would not believe. It doesn't mean that your life is going to go without problems, but what it means is that you have a purpose in the midst of the trials, that he will be with you. And just as we are, just have our heads bowed, is there someone here that wants to receive Jesus Christ and have that perfect peace in their life? Just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand so we can pray with you. If you don't have that peace and you want him in your life, just raise up your hand. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? That peace can be yours. And if you're far from the Lord, you pray this prayer too, and you draw close to him, because remember, he loves you, and he promises us that he'll never leave us or forsake us. So for the sister that raised her hand, we're going to just pray. Repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray and ask you, Lord, to please come into my heart, to forgive me of all of my sins, to wash me with your blood. Thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary. Help me, Lord, to live a life that trusts in you and that obeys you. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for me. In your name I pray. Amen.